Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 195 of this irreverent podcast about music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
We are professionals. And
what an intro. I love it.
This is going to be a pretty interesting episode. We've got really light on news, but pretty interesting news nonetheless. We have three projects as we usually do. Faith, the second posthumous pop smoke record. We have Temporary Highs in the Violet Skies by Snow Allegra. And then we have the Asymptotica World. Asymptote. That's the word, right? You're more mathy than I am. Asymptotical World by Yves Tumor. And we have one really interesting single that I'm really interested to be able to go into in just a moment. But yeah, we're going to have a little bit of news, going to have a little bit of music. That's what we usually do on this podcast. Sean, why don't we start with the single of the week that we have right here?
Yeah, so we have Creep, a very 2021 remix by a Mr. Tom York. So randomly he's like, I'm going to remix a song that I hate, that I've hated for like 30 years, but I guess I'll do it. And he slowed it like crazily down from, I believe it's like an acoustic version that they did in the 90s. And it's funny because halfway through, then it becomes a very modern Tom York interpretation of Creep, where it's just like this really like heavily electronic, creepy thing that kind of builds and builds. And it's, it's funny. It's a bit on the nose in a very 2021 remix, but it's quite clever. And it made Creep even more creepy, which is already funny too.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing about it I found was that it was done for, I believe, a fashion show of some kind. Was it done for like a Tokyo fashion show earlier? And then it got released just in this version. I think that's really interesting. I think that's an interesting sort of song to play at a fashion show, but you know, we do that here. They do that
there.
That's
what we do here. Yeah. Here, there.
Yeah. Everywhere. And we know Japan loves in some Thom Yorke, so there's that. But that is our single for the week. It's definitely not like a We Are Light week on Audio Face at all, but this is definitely like an interesting period in music. We're coming up soon. We're gonna have like a pretty interesting like end of July. I think there's a Billie Eilish record. I want to say there is a couple other really interesting projects coming out very soon as well. Oh, Isaiah Rashad coming out at the end of the month as well. So we'll definitely have a lot to talk about. But
there's a lot.
Yeah, singles wise, it's a little bit light. I think we had a lot more last week. But while we are here, we can talk about our 2021 AF playlist, where we are constantly adding music to that is cool from this year. Check that out in the podcast or video description. Check out our bonus episodes. We've done them on Radiohead, so you get a lot more Thom Yorke talk. You've done ones about Daft Punk, the late MF Doom, the state of music in 2021, Caro Caro Benito. We'll be talking a lot about the state of music in 2021, thanks to a new friend of the show, maybe the T-Pain Woke Award winner, T-Pain himself. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. And just check out all the Audio Face stuff we're doing at youtube.com/audiofacepod. Please subscribe to us or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at twitter.com/audiofacepod or instagram.com/audiofacepod. It's all at Audio Face Pod. That's the kind of deal. Or audioface.show. That's the website where we have everything. Power Report is returning soon, taking one of those John Oliver breaks. But I've got a lot of good plans for it, and we'll be back soon with that. And thank you, Peter, for editing this and making it sound really nice and cool. DeadMusic666 on Insta. Let's get into the news. I'll say one more thing before we do start. There are a lot of tours that are happening, more than I can just like randomly announce and keep track of. And also, yeah, everyone's into different artists and things. So I'll just say this in general. If you want to support an artist or just music in general, check out and see if there are artists you like. Maybe you discovered some during lockdown thanks to Audio Face or through other means. But see if they're touring. See if artists that are similar to them are touring, and see if they're touring near you and support them, because they definitely need that right now. But also do it safely, because there are places that are like still don't have populations that are fully vaccinated. So if you can vaccinate, definitely do that. Got to be careful with that on YouTube. Anyways, the other big story of this week was kind of some like movie shit, honestly, where, okay, I guess we'll do this. This is a tale of like one shooting that went one way and then one shooting that went another way, right? So Lil Durk and his girlfriend were involved in a shootout with home invaders, according to police in the Atlanta suburbs, where Lil Durk, government name Dirk Derek Banks, and his girlfriend India Cox were at their residence in the Chateau Elan neighborhood in Braselton, Georgia. At 5:14 a.m. on Sunday, assailants broke in, and then the way the police reports are written about this are really interesting because it notes specifically that gunfire was exchanged. So you have to understand here, like, they were broken in, like someone broke it into their place, and then they responded in bed, both he and his girlfriend, with gunshots. Now that's G shit, honestly.
That's kind of gangster. I like that.
That's gangster.
You got your tank nine, your tech nine, like sitting on your bed frame or something. You never know, man. Locked and loaded.
I mean, I get it, especially if you're a little Dirk and you know you're bad about it. Then yeah, good call. Don't want to end up in a Pop Smoke situation. Hey, I hate to say it, but like that was a situation. Or there's this, which is
the opposite.
Yeah. This is when keeping it real goes wrong. No. This is a Los Angeles rapper by the name of Indian Red Boy, or by his real name, Zirael Rivera, was killed on the 8th of July while sitting on his car in Hawthorne, California, in Los Angeles County. He was doing an Instagram live, apparently, during this entire thing. And by apparently, I mean there is video on the internet. It's pretty rough. And yeah, and it appears to be a walk-up shooting. He was just sitting in his car doing the IG live. And then, I mean, I hate to be dark here, but there is really a term called stream sniping. That's less about like actual murder, but more about like figuring out where someone is like, is actually located when they're streaming outside in public. And then like, you know, like interacting with them and interrupting their stream. Usually like to say hi because you're a big fan of them. But like, this is definitely the absolute darkest version of that. But
if you're in a game, you probably shouldn't do Instagram live. Just saying that now.
Probably not. Reported dead at the scene. Yeah, there are a lot of gunshots, and really the only evidence is the video that's there. That we've done some dark things on Audio Face. We're not showing that video.
No, we're not going to show that video. We's going to chill for now.
Yeah. but firstly, while I gets up my Spotify, we have our first album of the week. It is Pop Smoke's Faith, 20 songs, 56 minutes long. Pop Smoke is a rap trap artist, kind of brought like the Brooklyn drill kind of thing to the scene and mainstream sort of deals here, with songs like Dior. He was killed before his like first major album released in February 2020. Basically, they had like a home invasion kind of deal, much like we talked about with Lil Durk just a moment ago. And since then, like in 2020, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon was released to a lot of fanfare. There are a lot of songs on it that people liked and sort of cemented Pop Smoke's, I guess, legacy. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, Pop Smoke's done this series of different features on different artists' records. A lot of these artists also appear on this record too. So it seems like they did like a lot of back and forth. And we've had some pretty like mixed to negative opinions about those features. Like, and it's kind of colored our observation of what's been happening lately in music, where you have artists who unfortunately pass, and then they record a lot of music, and that music still needs to go out there, and people still want to make a lot of money off of that music. And so then you get to this weird thing of trying to create an artist legacy for that artist without their input, hoping that, you know, the people around them have the best idea of that. And then I'm not sure. Like with this album, I think it's interesting because I felt it was all right. There's some songs that are okay, but it's really long and it's very overproduced. And I am appreciative of this one thing, at least before we do start to get into it, Sean, is that we wanted Pop Smoke to kind of get out of the drill sound that he had, like that sort of like thing that he was doing. And you saw little bits of him doing it in some of the features that he'd done elsewhere and on previous album Shoot for the Stars. But on here, he really, really does it, especially in the second half of it. And that's the parts where it starts to sound a lot better. And along with all the features bringing their all generally, you start to get like a better idea of a clearer future of what the best of Pop Smoke could have been, would have been, slash is. Again, it's very like weird thinking about this contextually right now.
Yeah, my other issue with it is a lot of the features had a little too much leeway, I believe, in their production sound, because it sounded like some, but going down towards the end of the album, you had like Demeanor with Dua Lipa. It kind of just sounded like a random Dua Lipa track with Pop Smoke. It didn't sound like a Pop Smoke with Dua Lipa, if that makes sense.
Preach, I devour. Tell me, can you take the heat? You can touch with your eyes.
Like Pharrell and Spoiled with Pharrell and 8-Ball with Kid Cudi, the two after that, the same thing. It sounds like they had too much of their production value, too much of their own sound that went onto that track. So it kind of detracted from it. So it wasn't quite cohesive. But I do agree with you on this. Pop Smoke's rapping, that was a bit better on the album. It wasn't super stagnated like it was on the past kind of features that we've been seeing and things throughout. But I still have an issue with these posthumous albums. I've talked about it ad nauseum before on Audio Face, but like at the beginning, you have this little interlude of good news kind of going on about it. And then throughout the album, you always have like these little hints and stuff of Pop Smoke, this and that. But it just, I don't know, it's because of how long the album is, there's just so much substance in it that it starts to detract from kind of the good work that he's had in his career when he was alive and everything. And some of the stuff, even with his first posthumous release, that was some decent tracks and stuff in there. But now it's like, it was what, barely a year since that album release or so, maybe like a year and a half at most.
Yeah,
and then you
have
another thing like this, and it's one of those things where it almost feels like a cheap cash grab to me, where it's not, I don't know if it's genuine or not. And the features, because of how feature heavy it is, like they have to do a lot of stuff on there, and you never know how it's going to sound naturally when somebody's alive and everything. So it's okay if an album the first half of the album is kind of bland. You have Television with Kanye West and Pusha T. That was actually, it was okay. Not the greatest, but
I thought it was really bland, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. But not, super offensive.
MF Doom did more work in that IDK feature than Kanye West did in this.
Deadass. Manslaughter with Rick Ross and The Dreams, all right. About a Million with 42 Doug and 21 was okay. And you know that I'm a huge 21 fan, but I thought it was all right. Nothing too crazy to go out. And that second half did get a little bit better, but it's still really bland. I mean, he has a song with the Beater and / Dog Beater allegedly on there. So, and there's like just, I don't know. I couldn't get into it that much.
I think a highlight, and again, I felt like it was overproduced in the sense that it's not offensive trap music. I think we've gotten mostly out of that now, several years later, where some of the pop trap things are just like, the beats are inoffensive. They work out well. It's fine. But you got a little bit more of the hints of branching out. And I think a little bit more of a hit or hitting better with songs like Top Shotter with Pusha T, like the Neptunes, all these other ones, Beam, Trabby, etc.
Ricky Bobby, tell me in the lobby.
Frank White got body, Teflon John Gotti, Dope Boy Illuminati, Slick Rick with the jewels, hits the show Lottie Dottie, got nothing else to prove.
And there you got like a really different kind of thing. It was, and I'm surprised, even though these are all like pre-recorded and stuff, the parts with Pop Smoke sound really good. It doesn't sound like the quality is still top notch. It doesn't sound like you have to like, do weird slowed down things too much. But yeah. If they are there, they're hidden really nicely. There's not a lot of like vocal distortions, which you've gotten with a couple of posthumous records here and there. It's all like really top notch. It does sound like it's like, you know, breathing second life into Pop Smoke in this way. Maybe third life now, because we are in a second posthumous record, which again echoes Sean's point. Feels weird to me still.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a decent album, but it's still like, I don't know, there's a lot better trap music, there's a lot better rap that we've had this year, especially. And within this, there's still like, I'm not a big fan of these posthumous records. So maybe a posthumous song here or there is something that's maybe 95% completed or something, but this with this amount of features, and you can hear a lot of their sound or a lot of their production value onto it. It's like, it's not really his stuff. So it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine, but nothing that is super like, you know, knock your face off. But you know, even as like a pop record, because a lot of this thing is going to be just like played to hell, it's fairly inoffensive, but you know, not necessarily groundbreaking. But for Pop Smoke, I'm glad that it shows that the direction he was going to go into, right? And so
it was bad. Yeah
exactly.
I do agree with that statement. So
yeah, arbitrary scale this week, I'm going to do this one on the fly, and I'm going to go with Warner Brothers properties, because I was bored yesterday and I watched Space Jam, and like the new Space Jam New Legacy, and part of that it was like horrendous, right? Like there's not enough music in it for us to like do an audio face thing about it, but like, you know, also sorry to offend the old heads, the original Space Jam sucked. Like part of the idea of the original Space Jam was just that it was like a star fuck of all of the, like a lot of NBA celebrities and things like that, but also a lot of like Warner Brothers characters. It was like Super Smash Brothers and the movies, right? But like NBA streetball essentially. And so like the new Space Jam New Legacy thing, to do a minor spoiler alert of it, but this is like the first 30 minutes of the film. Like you're going through all the different Warner Brothers properties, and like if you're a Dan from the internet head, it'll start to like be really dark to you, because like there's like the Looney Tunes world, but there's also the Harry Potter world, and there's also the Game of Thrones world, because you have to reconcile with the fact that these are all the same company now. And like they make distinct references to this, and I think the worst one is when Rick and Morty from the show of the same name just randomly pop in, and it kind of makes sense because like that's kind of their shtick, but it's like, oh god, Warner, wow. So arbitrary scale, it just has to be a Warner Brothers property. You have a lot to work from. I'm gonna give Pop Smoke the Roadrunner.
Okay.
Yeah, on board because that. Like the drill thing,
I was gonna give him a Tasmanian devil. So
I was thinking about that, but I forgot his name, you know?
Yeah, you know? Ye old devil.
Yeah. Moving on.
But you know, whatever joints were on Boomerang, whatever random Cartoon Network show that was, or network thingy that channel was.
Yeah, that's Boomerang. They played all the old shows.
Exactly.
Especially all the ones that were like vaguely racist. You know, I'm surprised they kept Speedy Gonzalez in the new Space Jam.
That's hilarious.
I'm like, I didn't know we were still, all right, cool. I guess there we go. That's your representation. Oh man.
That's rough out here, man.
Anyways, Sean and I here are in a really awkward position where T-Pain is going to do a lot of our work, essentially. All right. So we have
T-Pain,
this
take the wheel.
Yeah, we basically T-Pain, and he's been doing this for a very long while now, so it's nothing like necessarily new. But he does these live streams where we get to, you know, he kind of just does whatever he wants to. We get to see his perspectives on making music. He kind of just talking about whatever he's doing. Sometimes he's gaming. It's a whole kind of variety different thing. But at one point he got to the topic of music and music in general sounding repetitive, people sending him things that don't have a lot of creativity or being different. And honestly, it is just audio face, true and true, take the wheel kind of stuff. And so I have, in like a reprising my old job here, three clips that I'm going to be able to play that really kind of illustrate the frustration. And then Sean and I will discuss whether or not we need to invite T-Pain on audio face by any means necessary. All right.
Stop. Just fucking do something else. Just God damn it. Do some different music. We have all the shit that you're doing. We already have it. Lil Uzi Vert is already doing it. Lil Baby is already doing it. Da Baby is already doing it. It's literally two niggas with Baby in their names that's already doing all the music you want. Do something else. Do something else. That's it. That's all we want. Do something else. Holy shit. We have it. We have it already. You don't have to do that music anymore. We have the music already. We have Lil Baby. We have Da Baby. We have Lil Uzi Vert. We have Lil Yachty. We have Lil everybody. Do something else. Holy shit. Stop sending me this bullshit. And then get mad when I fucking don't like it. Jesus. God damn tap dancing Christ.
Okay. So what are your thoughts?
Sounds like T-Pain watches audio face for the past 4.5 years.
Religiously, dude. Like
literally, that's what we've been ranting about for years is please God, change something. We already have this. It's so saturated market. We already have 8 dudes doing the same freaking sound. Please, for God, change it. And when people send us shit, it's like, we've already heard this. We don't need to review this. I already know exactly how it's going to sound 2 seconds in. All right. I don't want it.
Yeah. Like
something different.
Audio face listeners and real ones and organics know, like, artists can catch the smoke here too. Like, we love giving props to artists that we really love and who do really good things, but we also like get real intense with artists who we catch and we call out for like other extemporaneous things, and also for like their music and like they're messing up and like not
exactly
moving their music forward. We've done this with I won't name them maybe just yet, right? But I have another little T-Pain clip to go into right here that will, I guess, help to continue to buttress this point as well, because he just keeps going in. It's amazing.
It's not even a problem of people sending me music. It's people sending me the same fucking music that everybody else is doing, and they get mad when I say, well, I already heard this. That's the only thing I get mad about. You get mad because I say your shit sounds like the shit that's already out. And you know it does. You know it does. You know your shit sounds like Lil Baby shit. Because you say, oh, this is what's winning. I need to do this now. I need to do it. You don't even check your fucking self. And you get mad when I check you.
It's very true, though, because everybody does it. They copy a sound that's popular, right? Everybody likes to make a trap beat. I call it the YouTube trap beat sound.
Type beats.
Everybody does the same sound because, oh, this is popular. This is what's going to make me money. Cool, let's do this. And then you oversaturate the market. You make it sound all shitty the same. And then you dumb down the masses of music because then they're not going to be, you know, you have to search up our dumbasses to find actual good music in your lives. So if you go to, you know, your top charts or whatever, it's 90% of it sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, like, what is it? There's I Love McConan, we mentioned recently. There was St. John.
St. John. It's an extremely overrated album.
Yeah, terribly overrated. We got a lot of hate for both of those videos specifically. And we stand by both of those videos and our reviews we gave them because it's very much like, it's very samey. It's bland. It's dull, honestly. We give shout outs to artists like, maybe to give the hand, like the two we're going to be talking about very shortly, who push the boundaries a lot and do things that sound very different, sound things very cool. So it's very possible to do in the music space, and not a lot of people are doing it. And most importantly, people complain about it too, because even the artists that like T-Pain mentioned, like Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Baby, Da Baby, they're all
they're
right.
Not even that. They're okay. Like some of Lil Uzi's stuff is decent. Lil Yachty, I think, is not that good. Except he did do that one music video on a Zamboni that I will love for the rest of my life because it's hilarious. But the rest of them, like Da Baby, Lil Baby, they're not that good, honestly. But everybody tries to copy them because they got extremely popular very quickly. So then people think that that's like a road to success. But then you end up doing an Instagram live and a guy stream snipes you. So,
right. It's the road to success is really short when you're doing these sort of like quick hits, so to speak, right? When you're you're just trying to make these quick beats or whatever, you quickly just fall. Like the machine of the industry, like by the wayside, you fall off. It's over and done. There's one more clip here from T-Pain. I know this is kind of like a long segment here, but it's just like so good from what he said here. I think there's like more insight on what he's kind of talking about from his like spot in the game, so to speak.
And T-Pain didn't realize the state music's in right now. Oh yeah, it's down bad. Now, I realize the state that music is in, but I also know that there's good music in the state of music right now. The thing is that motherfuckers that make bad music have the most money. So they can spend fucking 300 grand on promoting a record right now. And that's the record you're going to spend the most attention on. But if I make better music and I got 20 grand to promote the shit, you're not going to see it. I understand that. I understand the state of music. The state of music has always been bad, but it's about who's willing to put the most money into it and put the most promotion behind it. How the fuck did Bop get popular? Because they spent money on it, but that was a bad state of music. How the fuck did any bad record in the 90s get promoted? Because motherfuckers willing to put money behind it. How did any bad record? We've always had bad records. Every era of music had a bad record. But the reason that the bad record was good was because the record label behind it decided we could spend any amount of money on this shit and people have to listen to it. I get that. I understand that. I'm not saying that this generation of music is worse than any other. I'm not saying that, oh my God, I'm so mad that my kind of music isn't getting popular right now. I don't give a fuck about that. I'm not chasing that anymore. I used to chase that shit. I don't want to do that anymore. That's not my thing. That's not my thing. I don't give a fuck what my records do. I don't give a fuck about numbers. I don't give a fuck about that shit because I know all that shit can be bought. All of it. All of that shit can be bought. Oh, this person got their first week is planning on their first week can be bought. Their sales, their streams can be bought. You can buy them. I don't give a fuck about that. Grammys can be bought. Awards can be bought. All of that shit can be bought. I don't give a fuck about that shit. But I do give a fuck about you doing something different with your fucking music. Do something different. Do something that I haven't heard. Do something that we don't have already.
I'm nominating T-Pain for the No Name Woke Award.
Yeah, fair play. It's exactly what we've been ranting on for years, right? Look at the Grammys, look at all of these, you know, giving artists that really don't make good music at all awards.
Even an album.
And you look at our whole Grammy rant where they just will listen to even a whole album. Like, that's your whole fucking existence. That's their whole job is to listen to music and to grade it. But you can't even do that because you're bought and paid for by all of these record labels and all of these other interests and stuff. And it's just, that's why we made this podcast, because people keep telling me all music shit. I'm like, no, there's a lot of good music out there. You just need to find it. It's the issue. And that's why we have this. Because then we need to do all these popular albums to tell people how trash and how wrong they are, because, you know, it's nice to gloat every once in a while, but it's also to give an idea of like, this isn't that great, but then there's all these other things that are pretty solid. Yeah, really good music and a lot of different things that people haven't heard that I haven't heard and I've listened to a lot of music throughout my life, and same thing on your end too. So
yeah, given that we're almost 200 episodes into this venture, we listen to a lot of music that like doesn't always make it to the top, right? And so
exactly,
we have that range to be able to say some of this music's really good, some of it's like really not, right? And so we can kind of give like that sort of, you know, I hesitate to call it like a skill or a talent, right? But it's like thing that we do with time from our like lives. And like we give this to people out there and we enjoy this, but like it's a service to like search for good music out there. And yeah, T-Pain's expressing the frustration of what's like when it's hard to find that good music sometimes. And when people expect, well, I just did music, this sounds like everything else that people like, right? It's good, right? And no, it's the wrong thing. Do something different, surprise us. If you can do it in the bounds of what's popular, amazing. If you can do it and it's like not like chart stopping, but still like genre bending and pushing the limits of what I've heard before, also great. Like, those are both things overall, because it's pushing the art forward that I think we should be paying more attention to in music, and the most attention to in music. And I'm glad that someone with the stature of T-Pain, who like has done his own like bastardization of music with the whole like auto-tune thing, at least he's realizing this, and not just realizing this, but vocalizing this publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, moving on. Because I think we did a pretty nice segment there, right?
Yes.
But we have Temporary Highs in the Violet Skies, an album by Snow Allegra. This came out last week, but, you know, we reserve the right to review things a little bit later. You know, 15 songs, 46 minutes long. But this is actually my favorite neo-pop album of the year, personally. Dethroning...
I agree, 100%. Yeah,
dethroning Jasmine Sullivan's Hotels, mm-hmm. which is a phenomenal album and still remains a phenomenal album. And it's going to make the Audioface Awards very difficult for me.
100%.
But this is amazing.
It's a fantastic record. It's funny because this first track, Indecisive, it starts off with my least favorite thing, you know, second then... Well, it starts with two of my least favorite things, right? Making your whole album caps and starting off with auto-tune. Like, that's a super no-no in my regard. But that after I like sat through that first 30 seconds, then the rest of the song was gorgeous and a great opener to get you sucked in the album. I was like, whoa. Because it was funny, the first like little opening, I was like, I'm ready. Let's get this crap over with. I'm like,
I decide, but you're not a fun.
I'm surprised. This is actually quite good. And then you get into the album, and there's only a couple features. You have Tyler, the Creator, on two tracks, which we'll get to in a little bit, and James Fauntleroy, and that looks about it for features, because it was not very heavy at all, which I think is good for a Trap and B record, because a lot of it could get oversaturated with a lot of different... And clashing features and stuff that don't necessarily make the record better, but I think you can hinder it a little bit. But I've found that a lot more last year than this year. But anyways,
yeah, I'll basically echo what you said, in that the first maybe 30, 40 seconds of Indecisive may be my least favorite part of the entire album, and then everything else really is great. It's really interesting the way the features are chosen, because the previous Snow Allegra album, which recently, I guess friend of me, Sam, had recently recommended to me a while ago, just before this album had come out. I listened to it and it was really good. It has no features on it from what I remember. And so the features being carefully chosen, like two Tylers, when you do like two features together, it's really good on that. So we'll give it to him there. But when you go down to Neon Peach with Tyler, the Creator, they do this really good back and forth thing together where, you know, Tyler has his chops in neo-pop R&B kind of things. He can do that really well with Igor, and now especially with his newest project, Call Me If You Get Lost. And so they do this really great thing together on the song where it really sounds good together.
Yo, Yeah. Your boyfriend a clown, you looking like a birthday party. Loud as a motherfucker, gifts all gaudy. And you gon' be hurt until he burnt, I'm sorry. Trying to play it off, leaving with your shirt all soggy. Drunk, holla, meet a dandara gal. Come with, hit it off, pinata. Sweet as the guts, now you can sit on the steps and make a choice.
Love.
Yeah, really solid track. And one of the great things about, I think, I've had to eat a lot of my words recently on how I classify albums and things because artists have, and I think it's a good thing they have been challenging and changing those dynamics of what those things are. But I think a good neo-pop album, like a good R&B record, should just play through start to finish and just sound smooth and nice. And each song on its own is good, but all the songs together kind of work really nicely through. And that's the way I review albums usually. It's not till like the third listen until I start shuffling things around. And just all the songs play together and transition very smoothly. Like between Indecisive and Neon Peach, you have Lost You and Your Eyes Just Like That, which are all really wonderful tracks, especially in Your Eyes. You get a really good show of Snow Lake, which is like vocal range and ability to just kind of like really go off of those things. Very, very nice. And then afterwards, you're going down to like, We Don't Have to Talk About all the other things, Tangerine Dream. It's just really, really good. It all sort of plays together sonically in ways where a lot of neo-pop albums, in ways that are totally fine and we'll like still, will sound a little bit more different. We'll do a little bit more genre bending and shifting.
Yeah.
Based on usually catering to artists that are being featured on there. But I think by not doing that and just being very careful and cautious with what you're doing and really inviting the features into the world of Snow Allegra, you're getting a more cohesive project as a result.
For sure. Because you can kind of say that about Emotional Oranges, their EP that came out a few months ago, that sometimes they would cater a little bit towards the artists. And that was just a small issue I had with them. And now I want them to kind of push their stuff forward a little bit. But it's still a lot of good substance in that. This, to me, is such a really good complete project in its entirety, where everything flows well. The pacing of the album is great, too, because a lot of neo-pop albums and trap and beat albums that have came out the past year and a half or so, I'd have a lot of issues with pacing, where maybe it was like it would be really top half heavy or then bottom half heavy, or it'd just be the same theme of love, betrayal, blah blah blah, like just over and over and slapped in your face the whole time that you get annoyed by the album. But this within there, there's a lot of different substance through it and everything flows. Because even like between the two Tyler songs, between Neon Peach and The Moment, it kind of slows down a little bit with We Don't Have to Talk About It, Tangerine Dream, Temporary Highs. And then there's this gorgeous song, Violet Skies. Back before it, which is almost like this just smooth jazz track. I really bop to that right before In the Moment, and you get to the second Tyler track, which is also just a banger, really good. So I'm really impressed with this album a lot. It's a pleasant surprise. It's one of those things where, you know, it's, I'm glad that we get to listen to this and everything, because without the podcast, this is something I might not ever hear, or might maybe hear it in passing or something, but I never get into it. So, but I really like In the Moment, where you can kind of hear a little bit more of Tyler's kind of vocal range and everything in there too, a little bit more of his flow, but not just his rapping, a little bit more experimentation with his voice and everything, which you don't get to hear super often. They heard a little bit in Igor here and there, but a little bit more produced, but this is a lot more raw, and them going back and forth, Snow Allegra and Tyler, just fantastic track too.
Yeah, On My Mind with James Fauntleroy, mm-hmm. Let's get at that. It kind of reminds me of like this James Blake kind of thing, where it's this like really ethereal backdrop, electronic-ish trap and electronic-ish sort of trap and B thing. But damn if it isn't pretty sounding. Yeah, I really like it so much. And it's a really, also, you know, I don't really talk about these things about artists very often when I do, but I'll just take maybe 30 seconds to do it here. Snow Allegra is just a human being, very, very good, like super awesome. This album came out last week when we had a really heavy week of like Vince Staples, a couple of artists coming out, and you know, all the artists, they do this thing where they're like looking at the numbers and looking at the feedback of their like records when they come out. And so I think on Spotify, Vince Staples last week was number one and Snow Allegra's Temporary Highs was number two. And they both shouted each other out and like in their posts on social media and stuff. Like it wasn't like a competitive thing. It's like, oh, we both got like number one and number two, like most streamed albums last week. Like that's dope. That's awesome. If there's a Vince Snow Allegra collab in the works, that'd be pretty amazing. I think their styles could really work together. But there's also another thing that was like going around on social media where people were comparing her to Sade as like, or who's better or whatever. And like, even she had to jump in and was like, there's no reason to make this comparison. I love Sade. She's the queen. Like, she's inspires me really heavily, but I'm doing my own thing. Like, they're just really fundamentally different. There's no need to make the comparison.
Yeah, well, Sade like, is also a group too. It's not just the lead. So it's a completely different thing than just a singer-songwriter right. as well. And yeah. that's, I think people miss that comparison a lot because Sade is the whole group. I forget the head of its name off the top of my head. But then you have a lot of these different singer-songwriters that always get compared. I'm like, you can't really make that comparison because it's a bunch of people collaborating with each other and everything compared to a singer-songwriter. So it's never quite a fair comparison. And also Sade is like on the, like, they're on like a whole different level of goodness. So
yeah, which Snow Allegra says, it's just like, listen, she inspires me like incredibly.
It's so many like, people.
So yeah, and so like, don't compare us. We can be different things, and we can exist together without like one being better than the other. Because like, mm-hmm. A, it's no competition. I, Snow Allegra, exactly. will end that for you right now. It's Sade, but like, just enjoy us both. And like, they're fucking great. Snow Allegra is on a track with her career. It's really phenomenal. So yeah, any other things on thoughts on this album before we go to Arbitrary Skills?
I like it a lot. It's a really good project. I'm pleasantly surprised by it. And it's one of those things where now we're getting into the big summer block of records that we really enjoy. And we get to now think ahead in the next, six months to the Audio Face Award. So it's one of those things where it's like, it gets to be on our radar and everything. So fantastic.
Yeah.
Arbitrary Scale.
Warner Brothers properties or characters. I'm going to give this the Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman effect? All right. Shit. How do I give this? You know, Warner Brothers owns everything just about.
They own like the scraps that Disney doesn't.
I know. So that's what I'm trying to think. I'm like, what is Disney? What isn't Disney?
DC.
Oh, Batman. There you go.
Given this is Batman?
Yeah, that's right, because it's Warner Brothers. Yeah, so this is the Batman studio. Wherever they did the Dark Knight trilogy and Christopher Nolan's beautiful, gorgeous films, yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah, that's Warner. All right. very, very worth it. I'll definitely give it that. Next, this is Slim Pick. And you know what, actually, I'm going to try a little bit of effort to this because I do want to project this on the screen. This is really good. 21 Savage is dropping the music video for Brand New Draco. But a day before this, he was also talking about, trying to stop violence and decrease violence. But before that happened, there was, of course, this video that came out to promote Brand New Draco. And give me a second, but I'm going to play it here on the screen because it's like absolutely worth every second of the time.
Hard times are affecting people around the world. Don't let the hard times catch up to you. Through 21 Savage's road to financial freedom with Brand New Draco stocks and bonds, you will create a life for yourself you never thought was possible.
I used to be a dancer. Thanks to 21 Savage, that's how I wanted to live.
Finally been able to get this Rolls Royce that I've always wanted. All thanks to 21 Savage.
I got all types of people telling me that's this, that's that. I put my money on that Draco stock. Call me a billionaire.
Who got that? Nobody got that. That Draco stock, boy.
I ain't got to fake the fuck ever again.
Are you about to be evicted? Pick up the phone and start dialing. Did your girlfriend leave you because you're broke? Pick up the phone and start dialing. This is a road to financial freedom that will never end.
That is my favorite fucking ad ever for anything ever.
It looks like an infomercial, but like it's not even 80s infomercial style. Like it's full like 4K, like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's in like Trump gold lettering, like super gaudy, with like the cash tag next to it, DRCO, like it's a crypto stock or something.
Exactly.
Incredible.
Beautiful.
Is there
a secondary stock of Extendo or something? What would be the crypto short for Extendo?
But like that was my favorite lyric in Brand New Draco, like ready to crash like when the stocks go down. But so this is the music video from 21 Savage and Metro Boomin's project that they released, Savage Mode 2, and this was from Brand New Draco. And you know, it's one of many 21 Savage songs which glorifies violence. But I mean, the criticism is like, basically there was a post that he made on Twitter a while ago that was like, I wish all this violence would stop. Seems like there's more hate than love in the universe right now. And, you know, people seem to disregard the tweet entirely and responded with some of 21 Savage's most violent, vicious bars. Which, I mean, like, listen, we like 21 Savage, but, like, we report you to side there. That's kind of how it is.
Fair play.
Yeah. At least this is more in brand with his, you know, financial literacy, sort of like getting people knowledgeable about these things. We can at least give him that.
It's
right?
A knife.
We're 5 years out from It's a Knife. What a time to be alive.
It's a knife.
Okay. Well, Sean, I'm happy to say that for our last album this week, Yves Tumor has blessed us with the Asymptotical World EP. It is 6 songs, 18 minutes long. And we got a little taste of this from Jackie, which was the lead single that we listened to a couple weeks ago in new singles for Audio Face. But we've got 5 more songs to dissect and listen to and just go, this person's brilliant. So, especially, I can't really say whether I or you are more of an Yves Tumor fan. We should maybe get on those tickets and continue getting bankrupted by the music industry. But like, what were your thoughts on this?
Here's the interesting thing with it, because you had one of my favorite albums records to come out last year, Heaven to a Tortured Mind, probably second on my list next to The Weeknd's album on my personal albums of the year. It was a different project compared to his other stuff. It's a lot of Yves Tumor does a lot of experimentation. Like, that's kind of what they're known for, within different rock genres. There's a lot of things that they've done throughout their career. I kind of got into their music with Noid, a song that was in their 2018 record. And from there, I just went down a rabbit hole of their discography and everything. I was like, wow, there's actually a lot of good stuff, but a lot of it can be really out there and kind of crazy. But Heaven to a Tortured Mind, to me, was their first complete real project where everything was really cohesive and gorgeous, but yet still being true to their experimental self. And now with this EP, you get more of that as well. You get even more of an exploration of sounds that we've heard from Heaven to a Tortured Mind. And even with that lead single of Jackie, that would probably be the most normal song on the EP. But some of it still is very approachable and stuff, and there's a lot of good themes throughout it. Another thing that I want to get into is, we've talked about like the state of rock music, the state of alternative music and everything, and what that has to do. I've talked a lot about indie, and I've talked about a little bit about experimental. And this is one of those routes where you can get a lot more sound and stuff if you try different things. As one T-Pain says, do something fucking different. This is as different as you can get in rock genre in 2021. Like, it's just fantastic. So anyways, going to the substance, that's a little bit of my kind of backstory in it at all. Jackie, lead single, fantastic rock track, really good. Love Yves Tumor's vocals on this. It's probably the most normal rock song I've heard them really make, but it's still good. It's still like a solid track and kind of gets you into the theme of everything of the record, of the EP as well. After that, you get Crushed Velvet, which is more take on, like, I would say, you know, early 2010s alternative, you know, like AM-ish Arctic Monkeys, but experimenting it a lot more with Yves Tumor's sound and everything. So it's an interesting take on that track. It's fantastic. Also, another thing noted is some of these tracks are a little bit short and some of these are a little bit longer as well, which is kind of a style that they like to do naturally.
Yeah. I was going to say that, like, one observation I had over here was that Yves Tumor is doing something that another one of my favorite artists or bands does, which is like do this really nice blend of bordering on heavy rock with electronic. And like Heaven to a Tortured Mind was like a really nice, like 50-50 perfect, like
yes,
blending of both of those, right? This one's a little bit leaning more on the electronic side, which I don't hate. So like you have songs like Secrecy is incredibly important, and then kind of leading into And Loyalty is a Nuisance Child afterwards and between, and then Tuck in the middle. But like maybe we focus on Tuck for this. It has a really nice sort of late aughts, early 10s, like post-alternative rock, like post like then alternative rock, I like electronic thing that's very warped in the background. Sounds like some late LCD Sound System kind of stuff, but it's really, really nice. It reminds me a lot of The Horrors and their older stuff, even though it sounds like the newer Horrors is going to be almost like Yves Tumor's previous record, where it's going to be a lot more of like the louder, heavier rock influences coming in there as well. Whereas this EP is... Go ahead.
It reminds me a lot of Preoccupations, of their record that came out 3 years ago, which is probably my favorite rock album we've ever done on Audio Face to this day. I don't consider Yves Tumor rock because I say that they're experimental because they're just too broad and out there.
Yeah, experimental.
But, yeah, exactly. Tuck really reminds me of Preoccupations, the last track on their last album, of that gorgeous like electronic beat within rock that just kind of envelops the whole sound. Within Tuck, you have that female voice with Naked on with the Future, and it's very, very good. It's trippy. It's different. Gets you to feel so many different emotions throughout it as well. And it's a perfect placement too, because with the three previous tracks on there, you have a lot more rock heavy and stuff, but then you get to the experimental and it's really, really good.
Yeah. You get to the end with Katrina and really just kind of wraps up the thing nicely. Always leaves me wanting more. Like even in complete projects like Heaven to a Tortured Mind, which was complete but still like very much near drop territory, like
yeah, it's still short
minutes.
Yeah, they don't, Yves Tumor doesn't tend to make long albums. I think like Safe
in the Hands of Love,
yeah, that came out 2018 with Noid, which fucking listen the shit out of that track. It was still only like 42 minutes or so.
42 minutes. That was their longest record. First one was 40 minutes long too. So
yeah,
we've always stayed pretty short. Definitely
released stuff like pretty close, not like Drake territory or Future territory of like, you know, three records a year, but it's like yearly or so they release something. But within there, you're not getting oversaturated or so within it too, because you get some EPs, you get some singles or this or that in between, and they're always different projects. They're always well thought out, which is honestly hard to do.
Yeah. Still, like, what a track record and what a continuous track record. I think Yves Tumor is going to continue on.
This EP really shows me that they're really, really killing it, and they're continually progressing further and further within their own production, within their own musicality and everything of it, which is great, because there's still a little things of Heaven to a Tortured Mind, which I thought was a little maybe too experimental, didn't quite work here or there, but then this is just, it shows that they're really evolving with every single thing that they put out. So just incredible. Incredible, incredible. And I want more. Give me more, damn it.
Yeah, I expect maybe we'll get some next year because someone's got a tour at this point. Anyways, arbitrary scale, Warner Brothers characters or properties or entities or whatever. I'm going to give this Rick Sanchez. Hear me out. Constantly transforming. Meta in ways that are like almost self-referential to itself and other things while also itself all at the same time. Can transform into any sort of like being, take shape while it like wants Perfect. To. Always a little something different.
Perfect.
Remarkably consistent too. Like remarkably.
I'm gonna give this Game of Thrones season 4.
Oh, ooh.
Just like, they don't make it like this anymore.
that was peak Game of Thrones in retrospect.
Like season 4, season 5.
Mm. Yeah. And there's two options on Audio Face. 8 times out of 10, we ended on a fun note, and then 2 times out of 10, we ended on an obituary or something. This is one of those 2 out of 10 because one of the real ones, one of the realist ones. Biz Markie is dead at the age of 57 due to complications from diabetes. Passed away it just this past Friday. Yeah, till now. And so, before the bodies are even cold. So, according to the statement, we are grateful for the many calls and prayers of support that we received during this difficult time. Biz created a legacy of artistry that will forever be celebrated by his industry peers and beloved fans who he lived. Whose lives he was able to touch through his music spanning over 35 years. Who he's behind a wife, many family members, and close friends who will miss his vibrant personality, constant jokes, and frequent banter. We respectfully request privacy for his family as they mourn their loved one. Marcel Theo Hall, aka Biz Markie, born in Harlem, started beatboxing in like nightclubs all over New York City. And then, yeah, The Biz Never Sleeps from 1989 propelled him to superstardom, thanks in large part to Just a Friend, which peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100, certified platinum, and is naturally the outro song for this podcast.
I always liked when he did the when the sample stuff didn't happen, whatever that his last album, or it was one of the only ones he did in the 90s. It's like, all samples cleared. Because I know, like, I can't think of what record it was, but there's something I know of his that they had to pull from shelves and shit. They had to pull it from having a sample that wasn't cleared, and the next record was all samples cleared.
Biz Markie's 4th album was called All Samples Cleared, in reference to the court battle over the 1991 song Alone Again. So this was just a couple years after that, and that album peaked 43. So good for that. Yeah, Biz Markie is sort of seen as like a one-hit wonder because of Just a Friend, but like he still became like a pop culture like icon, like sort of person. You're still seeing that song and other things in a lot of other like places, yeah, you know,
everywhere.
Yeah. It was like the song of Man Who's Down Bad for like a whole decade. So good on that. This has been Audio Face. You can follow us on Twitter at Audio Face Pod, on Instagram at Audio Face Pod. Go to youtube.com/AudioFacePod to subscribe to us and get more of the cool stuff that we do. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found at Dan from the Web on Twitter, Dan from the Internet on Instagram and TikTok, and Dan from the Web also on Twitch. Thank you very much for listening and subscribing to Audio Face wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get all those links at audioface.show, and we appreciate it and you. We're very close to the big 200, and it's gonna be some changes around here. Modest changes, barely any changes, but it'll look cool. It'll give you a little growing up of the show, and we appreciate you who have been with the show from the beginning, from whenever you came to now. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week with more music. Cheers.
Toodaloo.
Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event. So I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.